From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Rachel Miro. $17.2 billion. That's the gap Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger says exists between expenses and revenues for the coming budget year. Yesterday, Schwarzenegger unveiled his updated budget proposal, and he wants to leave part of the solution up to voters. Either major changes to the California lottery or a tax increase. Sacramento Bureau Chief John Myers has more.
$17.2 billion is a large budget gap, but it could have been even worse had lawmakers not acted in January to cut spending and borrow more money. By the time this year's budget battle is all said and done, lawmakers and the governor will have had to resolve a shortfall of more than $24 billion, much of which appears due to the worsening economy. At a news conference in Sacramento yesterday, Governor Schwarzenegger proposed more than $9 billion in new spending cuts. Three-quarters of those are in just two sectors, a scaling back of spending on public schools and almost $3 billion less for social services programs. He abandoned some of his original education cuts while at the same time proposed some new social services cuts, including lower pay for in-home care workers.
I know this is going to be very difficult and this is going to be very painful. This is why I had a hard time to make those cuts. But the absolute bottom line is we cannot spend money that we do not have.
The governor's revised budget also proposes new revenues, and here's where it gets unusual, or where detractors say the governor turns to a gimmick. The governor says most of the new money would be borrowed from Wall Street investors and paid back with future revenues from the California lottery. Schwarzenegger aides have suggested a $15 billion bond offering, with $5 billion of that used in the coming year. But to do that, the lottery will have to undergo major changes. Not only will it have to increase sales, but for the first time in its 24-year history, investors, not public schools, will be first in line for a share of the profits. Those changes in lottery operations would have to be approved by voters in November. If the voters reject the plan, the governor's budget would increase sales taxes by 1%. That would break Schwarzenegger's five-year pledge to not raise taxes, something, though, he thinks won't happen.
The people will vote for the lottery. Because I think that the people of California don't want to have an asset that California has that is underperforming. Our lottery is 28th in the nation when you compare it to other states. And, you know, California doesn't like to be 28th in anything. We like to be number one.
This is just flawed from the beginning to the end.
State Senate President Pro Tem Don Parada and his fellow Democrats quickly pounced on the governor's budget, both the spending cuts and the lottery bond proposal.
Getting it to the ballot would be hard enough. Passing it, I think, would be mission impossible. I also won't like the image that California is facing its essential responsibilities at the hands of gamblers.
But that's assuming the lottery can even increase revenues by enough to make the borrowing plan work. Getting California lottery sales to just the national average would require more players buying more tickets more often.
I just don't get it. I mean, why would you encourage more people to gamble as a way of solving the deficit or the problems of the state?
David Sanchez is president of the California Teachers Association. His union opposes a lottery bond plan because it would cap all future proceeds earmarked for education at their current level, less than 2 cents of every dollar spent on public schools. And the problems for the governor's lottery plan don't end there. Indian tribes will be closely watching the kinds of games offered and will fight any attempt to use electronic lottery machines, which could violate their existing gambling agreements with the state. Governor Schwarzenegger's budget plan is, on the whole, a gamble. But the lottery proposal is symbolic of the political paralysis at the state capitol, in that something so unusual and risky is seen as a safer bet than trying to get Democrats and Republicans to agree on more traditional ways to balance the state's books. For the California Report, I'm John Myers in Sacramento.
Because of budget troubles in Sacramento, the boards of both the University of California and the Cal State University systems voted to raise student fees yesterday. LA Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz has the details.
Painful but necessary. That seemed to be the message from both CSU and UC representatives in the wake of more student fee hikes. UC President Robert Dines.
We're between a rock and a hard place, as we have in the past. The state doesn't support us at the level that they should support us. Everybody goes through pain and agony in thinking about raising of fees.
The trustees of CSU approved a 10% student fee increase, while the UC Finance Committee voted to raise student fees by 7.4%. The UC Board of Regents is expected to approve the fee hike tomorrow. Talking over the screams of UCLA students protesting outside, Richard Blum, chairman of the UC Board of Regents, blamed Sacramento lawmakers for not generating enough revenue for the state.
And it's about time they got serious about it and not squeeze not only the university but the healthcare system and everything else that we need to do in this state. It's a, you know, we're a fast-growing economy, and we're going to grind to a halt unless people understand that we need to fund what we need to fund.
Outside the air-conditioned meeting hall, around 100 UC students carrying signs criticizing the fee increase marched in unison. UCLA junior Daniela Lavalle was among them. She says she'll now be paying more than $23,000 for school. Whether the blame rests on state lawmakers or on the Board of Regents, Lavalle says something needs to be done to put an end to what has become an almost annual fee hike for students like her. She says her family can barely afford her tuition.
I see how tired my dad is, and he works overtime constantly just so we can make ends meet. So I work. My mom is the one that takes care of my sisters. Back home, I have two younger sisters who they will have to face this as well.
And by the time her sisters are ready for college, says Lavalle, she fears tuition costs will be so high that her family won't be able to afford it. For the California Report, I'm Rob Schmitz in Los Angeles.
Later today, the U.S. Senate is expected to pass a farm bill that includes billions of dollars for California crops, including an unprecedented amount of money to boost fruits and vegetables. And there's $170 million to help people put out by the closure of this year's salmon season. Some argued that amendment didn't belong in a farm bill already laden with controversial projects that could prompt a presidential veto. But North Coast Congressman Mike Thompson says the money is desperately needed.
We need to bring back the fisheries, and we need to do a lot of watershed work, a lot of fish habitat restoration work, and all those efforts fell on deaf ears during the time that the Bush administration has been in office.
President Bush has threatened to veto the farm bill, but the House approved the measure by a veto-proof margin, and the Senate is expected to do so too. That's the California Report for Thursday, May 15th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Myra. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. OSH, Complete Home and Garden, offering service and selection to Californians for over 75 years. Ideas, tips, and solutions at osh.com.